February 3rd, 2016, it's a Watt from Pedro show. Thank you.
head to toe in sweat. She was standing in the kitchen, man. She had a tattoo of a snake crawling up her spine all the way to the back of her neck. And she'd been rode hard and put away wet. Wild red woman, double T in the fall.
I stole a fall to her knees. I stole a fall to her knees.
Fire houses at night. They light up the sky like a sun. Where the rough beast laughs to be born.
For Pedro Show, we had some wind, we had some rain, but it's back up in the 70s here in Pedro. I ain't at the Love Grotto with Brother Matt. He's indisposed, so I'm man alone, but not totally alone, because via Skype, I got Nate Cook from the Yoppers with me via Skype. Where you at, Nate?
I'm in Denver at the moment.
Okay, Denver. And you're about to start a tour, right?
Yeah, heading out with the Super Suckers for a few weeks. Actually be out in your neck of the woods.
Strong Beach next week, right?
Next week, yes.
Yeah, I can't wait. I should say, we started off the show with by John Coltrane. Hearing that tune, it made me think last fall I was on tour with Tao Falco, and he had a tune called The Lady from Shanghai. Damn, if they don't share the same lick. Then we had Heart on a String from the Yoppers, and you, Nate, you're telling me that's a deep cut.
Yeah, that's off of our very first effort, an EP we released in probably 2011.
A few years ago.
Yeah, it's been a few years now, yeah.
Can we go even further back?
Sure.
Can you tell me the first musical memory you got?
Ooh, first musical memory. Well, I think probably the first musical memory I have is probably being 4 or 5 years old and, my dad getting super drunk and listening to, probably Zeppelin II, and he passed out. And,
So how old are you now though?
Now I'm 29.
It's trippy when I hear people say my pop was listening to Led Zeppelin because, you know, I'm from a little time before, so when you hear stuff like that, it's trippy. But anyway, so your pop was listening to Led Zeppelin too, and he
passed out, yeah. And I remember I was drawing all over his stomach with a Sharpie.
Yeah.
And that's just one of the, for some reason, that's always stuck with me as the first time I engaged with music was drawing on my dad while he was passed out listening to stuff.
Yeah, he was also learning you on the perils of conking out first aid.
Exactly.
You don't want to do that. Okay, so maybe Led Zeppelin's the first music you heard at the house. So there was a lot of records at the pad.
Yeah, my old man was an insane music lover. He still turns me on to bands, new bands even, all the time. You know, maybe once a week he'll call me with a band I need to check out.
Was he just a listener or was he a player too?
Just a listener.
That's okay. You need that stuff, especially to share knowledge, like you say, and to get it from your pop. That's great.
Exactly. And if everybody played, we wouldn't be able to make a living, so.
or we just take turns.
Exactly, yeah.
So, okay. And how, you were like, you were a boy, you weren't even in school yet.
No, that was before school.
Okay. So, how does music develop for you in school? Do you meet musical friends? Do you get musical classes?
Yeah, I did the kind of the basic trajectory. You know, I played saxophone and stuff. And
oh, school band?
Yeah, you know, that sort of shit.
Yeah.
Later on.
And where's this? Is this in Texas?
Yeah, this is all in Texas. And then I think the kind of a turning point in my life, it all kind of happened at once. But around 10 years old, I don't know if you remember Martin Scorsese's documentary series on PBS, The Blues. Do you remember that?
Hearing about doing it, but I didn't see it.
Yeah, well, he released a box set that my old man managed to get his hands on of all the songs that they used in it. And I dug into that when I was about 10 years old, and that was when I realized that was pretty much what I was going to do, and I couldn't live without it. And then about the same time...
You're talking blues.
The blues was where I started really to engage with music. And then
is the saxophone, because John Coltrane played a lot of blues on the sax, even though there's wild stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, jazz was all rooted in the blues, in my opinion. But
Maybe you wanted to go to guitar.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
And then I got turned to, about the same time, I got turned on to Beck, and that was a big moment for me, too.
Beck, being out here.
Say what?
The singer man from out here.
Indeed, yeah, yeah, Beck Hansen. Yeah.
And
right at that exact same time, I also discovered really early Modest Mouse, before they got all shitty and lame like they are now, but early stuff I got really into. So that was about the time.
They're from the Northwest, right?
Yeah, they're up from Issaquah, I think.
Yeah, I've been on some bills with them, like at festivals.
I can't
remember so much. It's like one guy's trip, right?
Mm-hmm. Isaac Brock is the main dude. Okay. I don't know. They got, what's his name, Johnny Marr for a little bit there from the Smiths, was playing guitar with them.
Yeah, I met him in England, in Newcastle.
Yeah, and then he kind of split from the band. I don't know. All that stuff was way later, and that was the stuff that I don't really care for. But the early stuff was...
At 10 years old, you had this box set of blues. You had Beck and Cali. You had Modest Mouse in the Northwest.
Yep.
And they were all coming, and you had saxophone in the classroom.
Exactly. Also have to remember, that was for my generation, that was the first record I ever bought. That was also right when Dookie dropped, which was pretty much everybody my age.
You're talking Green Day.
Yeah, it was pretty much everybody my age's first introduction to punk rock. So all of that kind of happened at the same time.
Who did we just have on the show? A guitar lady named Ava Mendoza. And
okay.
She was talking about Green Day being big in her. Actually, the drummer man in the Italian band I play with, the avant-garde stuff, he started with Green Day.
Yeah, you know, I think for
90s kids, yeah.
It was a seminal record for, I think, anybody, like, near 30 now. That was kind of, you know, love them or hate them, that was a big fucking deal for a lot of people. And, you know, I listened to that record so many times.
Why? It was on the radio at school?
You know, honestly, I think it was because it was, you know, Green Day was really good at writing fucking stupid lyrics that kids could latch their identities onto pretty easily. But it was also kind of... It also felt dangerous, but it wasn't really all that dangerous. So it was a good – it was like training wheels for punk. And when you're 10 or 11 years old, you kind of need that.
Sure,
so,
What do you think of Buzzcocks?
Oh, my! The Buzzcocks are my fucking favorite.
You know, two of them are still playing.
I know, man. They're still floating around. It's fucking crazy.
They're kicking it out, man. I was really blown away. And those tunes are timeless. So let's get back. Because when you're playing the sax, you're not playing your own music. You're playing what the teacher's asking you.
Yeah,
to do,
exactly. Right? You know, like,
Were you in the marching band?
Yeah, I did all that shit, you know, overstarched uniforms that smelled like the guy who had it the year before, you know, all that shit. So
when do you get into your own world, Nate?
I didn't really start, you know, so I grew up, you know, again, in a very musical family, just like, you know, as appreciators. But the one thing they refused to ever get me was a guitar. So I think that may be part of the reason I took it so seriously, but I didn't get a guitar until I was probably 16 or 17.
Okay.
And then I immediately was just dick deep in it. I couldn't put it down. So that's pretty much where I've been since. But yeah, high school, you know, for the first 3 years, I didn't, you know, I was still playing saxophone and,
well,
you know,
dreaming.
Go ahead.
How did you get a handle? Did you bring over sax knowledge to the guitar? Was there some cats to teach you chords and shit?
You know, I'd like to
copy records.
You know, a lot of it was copying records. Yeah. I did have
D. Boone did.
Yeah, I had a mentor, but he was more of actually a bass player. Stanley Jordan and, he's a serious fucking bass player.
Huge.
A guy named Zerk.
This is probably why you ended up with no bass in your band.
Exactly.
Here, let's listen to some music, Nate.
Cause fuck that guy. Yeah, but no,
I'm so in love. おや、これは何でしょう。これは英語の九九です。これはスペインのお友達の九九です。九九は世界中のお友達が勉強しています。さあ、私たちも九九の練習をしましょう。
pictures of your cunt. Some people's cunts.
Along the road at night, only a glow from headlights and dashlights, dark side views racing by of a completely black forest, a place of no light, dark forest at night, to live through it all right, scary enough on its own, no friends in the dark trees, only one path to light, stay on the road, extension into nowhere, long fleeting dark ways, be brave upon the dark forest. David Lynch's Lost Highway leads through it. You can live and live strong, live through the dark forest, race through it if you have to, if it is your chest of strength, dark forest.
Watt for Pedro show, we just heard Barron Sweatfield, the Savages, doing I'm a Full Grown Man. Then we had Cuckoo from Ichi, a Furious Withering from Mordecnia, Meaty Gums from Coma and Algiers, Pictures Please by Spielgusher, that's Richard Meltzer of Portland, Dark Forest, Joe Brewer, cousin of Jack Brewer. Oh, speaking of starting guitar late, Sacred Trust, Joe Baiza, he started at 29.
Damn. Yeah. That's pushing it.
I got to tell him. Okay, then Bad Route, instrumental from Mr. Tom Tobacco, Luther Toby with King's Triad, and Kyoka finally with Utino Wanku. Back with Nate from the Yoppers. Now, what I really dug was finding out your name is from Walt Whitman.
Yeah, man.
From the first edition.
Indeed. Song of Myself.
Yeah, Song of Myself. Bitchin' ass poem.
That, yeah.
Actually,
yeah,
that's my favorite version is the 1855, just the 12 poems.
Yeah, I'm a Whitman junkie, or, you know, I guess more so at the time.
Have you been to Camden yet?
To Camden, New Jersey, where he's from?
Well, he actually, was from Brooklyn. But he ended up living in Camden in the house
I know
he
got. They've got that Walt Whitman Bridge out there. That's the closest thing.
Right, and actually he's in a graveyard not far from where he lived. I've been to the house. You can go to the pad, and it's just part of the national park, so a ranger gives you a tour.
That's fucking awesome.
It's right by the train yard. They said he liked to hear the trains hit each other and shit when they were coming.
Yeah. Well, you know, the one thing that sucks about this line of work is that you always get to go to all the cool places but never have any time to see anything.
Not enough time, right.
Yeah.
This was on tour, and luckily I had a little time. I was actually in Philly, but I took the train over there to go see this stuff. And anyway, I thought the ranger was really square, you know.
Yeah.
But when we were going upstairs to see his bedroom, he said, "Now you grab that handrail real hard." I said, "Okay, why?" He said, "Because he's got his DNA in there." So like he wanted me to rub on it. That was very cool of him. I looked him right in the eye, and he was like, "Yeah, I'm into Whitman too."
Fuck yeah, dude.
So, you're copying off records. You're teaching yourself chords. You got this guy, bass player, who's kind of influenced musically. When do you start writing your own Nate songs?
Pretty much immediately.
Oh, did you?
Like, as soon as I learned a chord, I just wrote a song based around that one chord. You know what I mean?
Yeah, great.
TVI
is one chord.
Yeah, exactly. There's great. There's a ton of great fucking songs that are one chord.
That line in the coconut, Harry Nilsson, Petra absolutely had to do the low voice part, and it's C7, the whole fucking song.
The fucking whole song, yeah. And then what I would do is I would go listen to songs and determine how they were moving from one place to another, and then I'd add a chord. And then basically, you know, just a process of ripping people off until I develop my own voice, you know.
Borrowing.
Yeah, borrowing, yeah.
Borrowing donates. So... when's the first band? When's the first time you play in front of people?
I fronted an all female quartet outside of myself, obviously, in high school. Wow. We were called Cupert Von Cleavage, and it was just real, real shitty, just the worst drivel attempting to fucking pass as rock and roll.
But they were original songs?
Yeah, original songs. Okay. I think we did a cover. I think I did like a version of Backdoor Man or something like that. But yeah, for the most part, they were all originals. And then, in college, I really focused on being a solo artist for a while and dropped out of college pretty fast and just decided to do that full time. And then about 10 years ago or 8 years ago, I formed a band called Ego Versus Id, which is what I would call my first real band.
And is this still where you grew up, or have you moved by this
point? I had moved by this point, so I got thrown out of high school when I was 17 and got sent to boarding school in Arizona. Okay. So that was where I first started playing guitar. And then...
what town?
Say what?
What town?
Sedona.
So yeah, okay, I-17.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
And so I was there for a couple of years.
A little
and
bit
then,
isolated.
Yeah, just a bit.
Got
and
a
then
a dead pastor living there now. But if you want isolation, they
that's
got
a good
it
spot to go. Well, it was a great place to drop acid and fucking jump in the river or whatever the fuck you were gonna do when you're 17. You know, a lot of people like complain about going to boarding school. It was fucking awesome for me. I mean, just total freedom. You know. I fucking, you know, didn't want anything to do with my parents, obviously.
Sure.
And so I basically just got out and was able to live as a fostered adult until I graduated. And then I kind of went to NAU very briefly. Yeah. Just floated around there. And then I was visiting my parents on my way to move to Boston, and I got arrested for drunk driving here in Colorado. And basically stuck me here, so that's where I've been ever since.
Wow, because of drunk driving.
Indeed.
Okay. And you're in Denver.
I am in Denver, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, in neat town. Actually, you know who's from Boulder is Jello Biafra.
I did know that, yeah. Okay. Yeah, you know what, you'll see him, he comes back and visits his parents pretty frequently. You'll see him Absolute Vinyl and some of the cooler record stores in town.
He's got a collection.
Yeah, he's a fucking madman with that shit.
So, this band that you make on your own without the high school girls, what's this called?
Ego Versus Id.
Ego Versus Id.
Yeah.
That's a good name. Kind of Freudian.
It was indeed Freudian, yeah.
And,
we were super self-important, though, like... We had like song lyrics, or sorry, like titles like The Narcissism of Minor Differences and weird Sartre fucking illusions. I was a fucking douchebag.
Did you guys ever record?
We've got some shit out there. It's not great.
I kind of wish you told me about it. I could have played some on the show.
Oh, God, I'm glad I didn't, man. I kind of wish it wasn't out there.
Well, everybody's got to start somewhere. I mean, you should hear the first song.
It's just the most self-important douchebag drivel you've ever heard. So,
and what was it? A quartet?
It was a quartet, yeah, pretty standard lineup. Two guitars.
So
actually, two guitars, bass drums.
You were tolerating the bass player.
Yeah, we had a bass player. In fact, the bass player from that band is now the guitar player in the Yoppers.
Oh, wow. So he committed treason and left the bass.
Yeah. Exactly,
yeah. He has happened many times. No, it's okay. Actually, he plays really good. Both cats in your band fucking smoke.
Yeah, they're fucking good players, man.
And, so you found him there, the bass that turned to guitar. So he's been with you a while then.
Almost a decade now.
Okay. And his name?
Jesse Parmet.
Jesse. Okay, so Jesse, he's been kind of your partner in music then for, like 10 years.
About 8 years. I think I met him when I was 21, so 8 or 9 years now.
And how'd that meeting happen?
Nothing super interesting. I had a show, back in the day. I was working at the graveyard shift at this, 7-Eleven in Boulder. Yeah. And, this guy comes in. I was supposed to be playing a solo show in a couple days, and he mentioned he was a guitar player, and I was like, oh man, well, we should play together. And he just wound up knowing Jesse. And so we just kind of formed instantly for this gig. And that's, we kind of met him through a dude.
Okay, so you met Jesse through another dude.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. That happens. That's all right. That's how I met Raul. Look, we're at the end of the first hour of February 3rd, 2016 edition of Wapapito Show. Special guest, Nate Cook from Yoppers. Hold tight for hour two. February 3rd, 2016. It's the second hour of Wapapito Show.
Maybe you're more over here. perfection, just living on the run. Well, maybe I'll turn to Jesus. Maybe I'll cash it all in. I can feel the darkness coming, sitting here at 3 a.m. Well, maybe I'll turn to Jesus. Maybe I'll cash it all in. Feel the darkness coming, sitting here at 3 a.m. It's coming!
Pedro Show. Start off the second hour with some yappers. 3 a.m. Nate Cook's favorite tune off the new album. Heard new stuff from out of Czech Republic. It was Madoma, Blaze It. Then out of Barcelona and Catalan with actually Chili Cats named Familia Miranda, M.M. And finally brand new from Belgrade, Disciplina Kichwa. Piti Imun Na Ovaj Neymar.
Man, you're casting a wide fucking net today.
Hey, people are making tunes all over. It's fucking bitch. But this is the way they did it in Denver about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
They transformed from ego versus id into yappers. Tell me about how that happened.
At the time I was working with, Ego versus Id was kind of named because there was two primary songwriters in the band, and, that just wasn't working out for me anymore.
You was one of them, right?
I was one of them. There was another one, yeah. And, it just wasn't working for me as an artist.
Sure.
And so I bailed.
Yeah.
You
actually leave.
I left, yeah.
Okay.
And then, Jesse decided to follow me, and we formed the Yappers.
And you got the drummer, man.
Yeah, that Noah, who is our current drummer, is actually our third drummer.
Third? Whoa.
Yeah.
Kind of tapping.
Yep. Got kind of the journeyman role.
But these guys don't blow up. They just bail.
Yeah, well, one of them had a kid, and then...
Oh, yeah, So tell me about the first Yappers gig.
First Yappers gig? What the fuck would that have been? I guess... technically, I had a residency as a kind of a solo acoustic act in Boulder at this place that we all called the No Name. It was just a bar that had no sign.
Yeah.
And Jesse would come and join me every now and again, and then one night if we just asked a drummer to sit in with us, and the drummer just never left. So, that drummer left, but we kept with drums from then on. So that was kind of...
So it actually started like as a Nate... thing, and then
kind of, and then it organically developed into a band thing.
Okay, do you remember the first songs that you wrote specifically for Yappers?
Yeah, probably actually Heart on a String would have been one of them.
Heart on a String.
Yeah, that or Jesus Car.
Or Jesus Car, because I'm thinking you picked Walt Whitman as being part of your name, and I wonder if there was any inspiration, or he just runs through your work anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, if you listen to Heart on a String,
yeah.
there's a James Joyce reference in there, there's a Yeats reference in there as well. So that was, I was still kind of going through that, like...
You like poets.
I do, and I think I thought it was, I mean, it is cool, but I think I was a little too dependent on allusions at the time.
Sure.
So you'll hear a lot of... Wallace Stevens name drop. The name of the first record is Savage Blue, comes from Man with a Blue Guitar, which is a Wallace Stevens poem. And
the difference, Nate, between lyrics and poetry?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
No, it's just an opinion. You can't be wrong.
I think that lyrics have the crutch of being able to exploit the the emotional witching rod, which is music.
Right.
Poets have to depend totally on technical and artistic prowess that I just couldn't even begin to muster. I think if of any art form, it's probably the most difficult. And partially because it's one of the most indefensible. Basically, you take something and you obfuscate it.
Right.
In order to make something more clear, which is really...
Isn't that trippy? it seems like kind of at ends with itself, odds
yeah,
with itself.
Yeah, and so to see the greats do it well, and the way that they can take something and then take something familiar, make it unfamiliar, so that you find something new about
it. Right, for yourself.
Yeah.
That's an incredible gift that they have.
To see the greats do it is... I mean, there's nothing like it. I love great music, but I don't think anything's ever changed my life like, The Second Coming by Yeats or
where did the poem things come from? From school?
My dad was a poet growing up.
Oh, okay, okay.
And he did a lot of writing, and he turned me on to literature at a pretty young age.
Wow, that's bitching.
Yeah, I know. I got pretty lucky with the folks who wound up popping me out.
Look, what can you tell me about this All Night Long?
Okay. Yeah, that was, Jesus Christ. I think that was right before I met my wife. I was kind of going through a,
not a Lionel Richie thing.
Yeah. Exactly.
Thank you. Is this a better tune? He did call that tune. You know, I don't think you can copyright song titles.
I hope not, because I'd be fucked right now. I was going through a, you know, I don't know. It's been a while now, but back then it was the kind of the isolation I felt in high school. As you kind of go through that, the existential weight of having to be an adult in the modern world was weighing on me in my mid-20s. You get that isolation where, you know, I remember being at a bar when I wrote that song, and every woman was somebody that I could have fallen in love with, and I was putting a lot of, I was running through these fantasies of all these women being Eve, and so I was writing, basically I wrote the song about nobody but everybody at the bar. Just, I felt very, very isolated. And so I tried to lift myself out of isolation by giving everything some sort of a religious, weight. So, yeah.
The magic of alcohol. Let's listen to it.
All night long. No pain without the powder, stuck 4 feet deep. Warrior mighty weight, heavy on my head. Burning rage, dragging like dry bridge bread. Turn the other way, I should have been bending. Scheme control, dude, I now befriended. Land is back down on my forehead. For a minute, I thought that I was dead.
Face plans, coming in black pins. Neck bullet, then it's fine men. Face plans, coming in black pins. Neck bullet, then it's fine men.
All hands on deck. Calculation incorrect. Face plan.
Wonderful. Yeah. Days gone, you're the
Wofford Pedro Show. We heard All Night Long from the Yoppers. And then Fishbone with Face Plant Scorpion Back Pinch. Fruity with Fruity Day. Yeah, Norwood was on the show last week. He's an incredible kid. Hegoland from Cosmodrome. City Lights, World Forgotten Sons. Charlie from Wild Style, Lion. And the Babe of Wolves from Secret Care. So, do you remember the first time Yoppers went in the studio?
Yeah, I mean, the first time we went into a studio, obviously, modern age, we just did it in our fucking living room.
Is that Hard on a String?
Yeah, Hard on a String was recorded in Jesse's bedroom. And then the first time we went into a real studio would have been for Cape on Crusade.
Okay.
And that was good. And I don't know, it was fun. But I feel like, you know, with the new record, that was like the first time we fucking really went into a studio. We recorded everything to tape, you know, it's Bill Stevenson's studio.
Oh, really?
You know what I mean?
You know, old buddy, me and D Boom put out the first Descendant albums.
That's fucking awesome, man.
Small world, jeez.
It is a small
fucking
world.
Talking about the Blasting Room.
Yeah, so that's where we
in
recorded
Fort Collins.
The, yeah, exactly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so, we recorded.
That's a great pad. That's a real studio for sure.
Yeah, and it just had that fucking vibe, you know what I mean?
Wow.
Like, get your fucking take and get the fuck out sort of deal. I like that.
Billy's intense, too. He's been through a lot. He's a good sailor.
Yes, he is, man. And he beat cancer as well now, so.
We're at the end of the second hour, Nate. 2016,
yep.
February 3rd. Just Walk Peter Show. You're my guest. Talk about Yoppers. Come to Strong Beach soon. Hold tight for hour 3. February 3rd, 2016 is the third hour of the Wofford Pedro Show.
You were born alone. Angst vor der Nacht. Im Schlaf liegen Häuser, der Fluss und die Aue. Mariechen liegt bei mir, heut halte ich Wacht. Mariechen, mein Mädchen, dir träumte ein Kätzchen, legte sein Köpfchen dir weich auf den Mund. Mariechen, ein Märchen von Schmerz und Entsetzen, steigt auf von des Dorfbrunnens allertiefstem Grund. Ein Vogel erhebt sich von fern in die Stille, von Stahl ist sein Leib, sein Schrei zeigt die Stund. Im Brunnen tönt kreischend das Echo, das Schrille umrundet die Welt, ein Drohwort, die kund. Mariechen, mein Mädchen, dir träumte ein Kätzchen, legte sein Köpfchen dir weich auf den Mund. Mariechen, feins Liebchen, jetzt sollst du benetzen mit Tränen des Mitleids das grüne Erdenrund.
Sein König. König heißt Geld und liegt stets auf der Lauer, ob einer nicht einmal die Losung vergisst und heimlich sich träumt einen Regenschauer, ein Grußwort, ein Tänzchen, ein Wort mit Gewicht, ein Liebchen mit Liebreiz und lustigen Pfoten, ein Buch ohne Seiten, ein zartes Gedicht. Das alles, das gönnt dieser König der Noten, dem Diener, dem Schreier von Herzen nicht. Der Diener nun wieder singt schaurige Lieder vom Ende der Zeit, das er ahnt und erhofft. Ein Sklave nie wieder, er schüttelt die Glieder und schießt auf den Specht, der am Fahnenmast klopft. Der Vogel fällt leise, laut ruft er in Strömen das Blut von Proleten und Bürgern herbei. Im Krieg liegt die Freiheit, so hört man ihn stöhnen. Am Waldrand, der Friedhof steht in Akelei.
Mariechen, ich pflanze Holunder und Flieder dorthin, wo noch gestern dein Kinderleib lag. Mariechen, der Brunnen wird singen und Lieder voll Süße und Wahrheit, wenn Licht wird der Tag.
Watch for Pedro Show. We start the third hour off with the Yappers doing Silicone Love, and songwriter man Nate here has got a story for him.
Well, yeah, a couple. So, first of all, if you take a careful listen to that song, you'll realize that there's probably a grand total of 6 words said in the entire song. That was when I was going through a weird process of writing style where I was kind of trying to take the William S. Burroughs deconstructionist style to the ultimate limit and just literally mumble every lyric. So the whole song is just gibberish, until I actually say Silicone Love. there's literally not a fucking thought in the entire song. And then, maybe about, I don't know, a year later, we released a covers EP that's called Good Song, Shitty Versions. We covered Ween and covered, Elvis and fucking Aerosmith and whatever other bullshit we did, but we decided to cover our own song. And so, we covered Silicone Love on our cover record, and I actually wrote lyrics for it that time. So, yeah.
I think Replacements did something like that.
Yeah, I think they probably did. It sounds like something fucking naughty that Paul Westerberg would pull off.
It was called The Shit Hits the Fans.
You know, I think I have heard that record.
Stuff like Black Diamond.
You
know?
Yeah.
But like, they never get through any of the tunes.
I know, dude. I fucking love, dude, watching the Replacements
actually,
do covers.
Actually, you know, it was Bob's band.
Say what?
I don't think it was Paul's band at first. I think it was Bob's band.
It was, well, so this is before Paul, then?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
With his little brother on bass.
Yeah. Well, Paul, I just saw the Replacements maybe about a year ago.
Yeah.
And they still do that shit where they just try fucking some random ass cover and then just give up about a fucking minute in. So it's great.
Okay. So, you got this, Blasting Room record finished. And, you went out and toured it.
Yeah, still in the process of it,
right,
yeah.
Right, because this leg you're doing now, this ain't the first one, right?
No, this will be leg 4. So this will be the second time hitting the West Coast on this record.
So, did you tour in Ego versus It?
No.
So the Yappers is your first touring band.
Yeah, and that was something that was very conscious. We just decided to do it right out of the fucking gate.
No, it's all right. I want to know what you're... feelings about touring since never done it.
Yeah, dude. I've been doing it now for 4 years, but
yeah.
I there's no way to be a band and not fucking tour all the time.
Okay.
That's what makes you a fucking
Steely
good player.
Dan that. Well, I guess they tour now.
Yeah, fuck Steely Dan. But, I don't know. Like, you know, we just finished a tour with what I consider to be one of the great live acts in the country, the legendary Shack Shakers.
Oh, yeah. Did they have Dennis on the guitar?
No, now it's a guy named Rod Hamdallah, I believe is his name.
They had the cat from Jesus Lizard.
They did for a while. But they, you know, JD, their lead singer, is like just a fucking lunatic, man. Just a fucking snake oil and Satan on stage, man.
Right.
I fucking love that guy. But the point being is that those guys have been touring nonstop for 20 fucking years.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right.
And that's how you get that fucking good. There's a kind of an ease, like a naturalness to being on stage. There's that Kim Gordon quote. She says, people pay money to see other people believe in themselves. And like watching them on stage, the ease with the way they do things is just fucking inspiring. So, love those guys.
So, it's kind of classroom. Tour was kind of classroom.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, you're always pulling...
It happened with us, the same thing with Black Flag. Except we were in the same van. I remember a Denver gig with them. We had to go from Minneapolis. So we had to leave after the gig, 17-hour drive.
Fuck, dude, that sucked.
Yeah, all 10 of us in one van. In fact, it was Billy's Pop's van. Beat it up so bad it never ran again after that tour.
Was it at least the summer?
No, it was February. We were freezing to death.
Fuck, dude. That drive from Minneapolis in February is the worst fucking
insane.
Drive.
It was the most crazy. I mean, it was a long time ago, but.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's why I was saying classroom. You learn.
You do. You do.
Listen to. Oh, man, I should say the other stuff we heard. P Frog Dog has a brand new song that the 20 years. Inspiration song for Josh Hobbs sing. Then Miracle Lucky Girls, live from Basho, Fuzzy with Tuggy. From Tuggy. 1 hour drive, David Nasselhoff, and finally Schlafield für Marie. Kim Bohm and Kessner. We're going to listen to Rock Bottom right now. Now, this ain't a Kiss cover, is it?
No.
It sound like it.
Not Lionel Richie, not Kiss.
Here we go.
Your heart's still gone. Boys covered from door to bed in a rolling rock and a cigarette. Well, look out, man, I've been drunk for 2 days straight. Well, I can't stand up and I can't walk away.
Final music for this edition. We got Yoppers doing Rock Bottom, Not a Kiss cover. Then we had Ava Mendoza doing Penumbra. Peace Movement Moose Pavement from Candy Can Heads. They're out of Finland. Gum with Fly Me to the Ocean. Mommy's Boy EVL out of Nagoya. And finally, Super Chump. Brother Matt, What
nice.
Can We Do? Yeah. Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Okay. What about advice? I know you've only been torn 4 years, but you've been doing music since you were 10. What would you tell some younger cat getting into this racket?
I don't know how much I'd listen to me. I have a hard enough keeping the fucking barrel out of my mouth every morning as it is. But I think it's just mostly about just fucking going out there and doing it. And then also, I think it's also important to remember that, you know, like, when you're first starting out, it's really easy to get intimidated by audiences or by other artists. And it was really an important moment for me when I realized that nobody's as cool as they seem. And that you just go out there and do your fucking thing, and eventually everybody will kind of come around.
All right, so stick to what you got.
Stick to your fucking guns, yeah.
Right. And what about, but on the other side of it, what about this thing like you were talking about, learning?
Sure, yeah, I mean, I think you can stick to your guns as a voice, but still change the medium in which you work based on what you see other people do.
Yeah, like, because you yourself, can you see yourself stop learning sometime in your life?
I hope not, man.
Yeah. You don't seem like that kind of cat. You seem like an explorer.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's you know, I'm an experience collector. You know what I mean? I live on the fringes.
What about this metaphor, the onion? You know, you start peeling.
Yeah.
There's another
totally.
Layer, another layer, another layer.
Yeah, the problem is you always wind up crying, but yeah.
That's why you gotta let the sink, the water on the sink run while you're doing it.
So exactly right.
So my mom.
But yeah,
talking.
No, you know, like I'm constantly learning. Like, you know, like you always have to take nods from the greats. Like I listen to, I think the artist I listen to the most when I'm writing is probably like Nick Cave.
Oh,
like
yeah.
I have such a desire to be able to write with that kind of weight. And wow. So I'm always trying to learn from him and then watching people like the legendary Shack Shakers on stage.
What was the name of that song? Zoop Music Girl, where he said, I want to dive beneath her fists.
Oh, man. He's got some great ones. My favorite record from him was a double record called The Abattoir Blues and The Lyre of Orpheus.
Wow.
But he writes all these, like... What I love about him is he takes all these biblical allusions and biblical stories and puts them in a modern context that are just over-sexualized and gothic. Yeah. I fucking love it, man.
Yeah, he's an intense man.
Dude, have you ever seen him play live?
I got to be on a tour with Porter for Pyros with Bad Seeds, so I got to spend 2 weeks
there. Holy
shit! It's called,
shit,
what, The Big Day Off in Australia. This was in the 90s, yeah. Very
interesting. Did you get to hang out with him?
Yeah. He rapped with me a lot.
I'm fanboying right now. So
I'll tell you one thing.
Nice guy.
Beautiful man. And big forehead.
Yeah, he does. Well, you know what he looks like? He looks like a gigantic 12-year-old. There's something about the proportions of his features and like his body all gangly.
And I like Grinder Man a lot too with Warren.
Fuck yeah, dude.
I got to see that on the next time. Last time I did Big Days a couple years ago.
Dude, so, yeah, Grinder Man, the first one they put out is fucking great. That's got, like, Honeybee on it and shit,
and,
man.
And Nick plays guitar.
Yeah. What is he playing? A fucking telly on that one,
that's
I think.
That's right.
Yeah.
He came out with a guitar, and it blew my mind. Anyway, we're getting near the end of the show here. I know you guys are going to go out there. You're coming at a hard time for weather, getting over those Rockies.
Maybe yeah, you know, it's not that big of a deal. We'll take a couple days, and then we'll
do
study I-40. San Diego.
Don't do I-70. Don't do I-80, but an honor pass. Do I-40.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know Flagstaff. You know that area.
I do, my man.
Yeah. So I want to thank you so much for being on the show. And, you know, like I was told, keep on keeping on. Brother Nick.
Rock and roll, my man. Hopefully we see you in Long Beach.
That's right. At Alex's Bar. Where can people find you on the internet?
TheYoppers.com. Just search The Yoppers on Facebook, or don't. I don't really give a
shit.
That's
YAWPERS.
Dig it. Yeah, that's right.
Thank you very much. It's been the February 3rd, 2016 edition of Wofford Pedro Show. Special guest, Nate Cook from The Yoppers. Everybody out there, keep your powder dry.